Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we are continuing our discussion of the soon return of Jesus Christ to this earth. And we've been coming at it not from the angle of who's the Antichrist or is the rapture pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib. You know, if the Apostle Paul showed up today at many of our end times discussions, I think he'd have a cow. That we're focused on arguing over that stuff. Because you don't see anything like that in the New Testament. What you see is that the first Christians understood that God is working out a plan called redemption, a plan to deliver men who put faith in Christ, men and women, from the guilt and power of sin and transform them into sons. And part of his plan of redemption includes renovating this earth and making it a fit forever home for himself and his family of redeemed sons and daughters. Jesus came the first time to pay the price for sin so it could be removed and sinners can become sons and daughters. And he's going to come again to cleanse the earth of every trace of sin, corruption, and death and establish his visible kingdom on this earth, moving his throne from heaven to earth to live with his family forever. And our emphasis this week is the fact that let me say it this way. We need to have an eternal picture. We have to understand, or an eternal perspective. We have to understand that we are only passing through this life as it is, and that we will one day return to earth to live with the Lord in his kingdom on earth forever. We're eternal beings, and the greater and better portion of our existence is ahead, first in the present invisible heaven, and then on the new earth, when God establishes his visible kingdom on this earth. And we left off yesterday. We looked at the letter to the Hebrew Christians who were being persecuted and pressured to give up faith in Christ and go back to the old covenant, Old Testament system of blood sacrifices. But the writer of Hebrews reminded them, we've got a better and more enduring substance in heaven, and it's worth it to stay faithful to the Lord because the best is yet to come. The first followers of Jesus expected him to return within their lifetimes and establish his visible kingdom on this earth, and it impacted the way they lived their lives. They looked at the second coming not in terms of who's the Antichrist and will the rapture be pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib. They were expecting him to come back to set up his kingdom, looking for Jesus, expecting him as a major New Testament theme. Let me just read you. This is Titus. Paul wrote these words. Titus chapter 2. Let me start in verse 11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and of our Savior Jesus Christ. And it goes on there. It's a marvelous passage, but the point is salvation is being cleansed from your sins, receiving God's grace, living with that consciousness, living rightly in this life, all the while expectantly waiting for his Son from heaven to come to complete the plan of redemption. Jesus knew when he went back to heaven. Remember, we've discussed this quite a bit in this series. Jesus went to the cross, died, was buried, rose again, rose from the dead, spent 40 more days on this earth, then he went back to heaven. And Acts chapter 1 verse 11 says he literally sent a message back to his followers after he got to heaven. Minutes after he left them, he sent an angel saying, I'll be back, I'll be back. Well, obviously, Jesus knew he wasn't coming back within the lifetime of those people to whom that message was given. Why did he tell them, I'll be back? Well, one, because he is coming back. But why did he leave them with the impression that I could come at any moment. Well, number one, because he can. But number two, Jesus wants every generation to be looking for him because it's a source of hope. It's a source of hope. It's not a source of fear. If it's a source of fear to you, you've had poor teaching. I say that with all due respect, but it's the truth. It's supposed to be a source of hope. It helps us keep a right perspective. It affects the way we live our lives. It helps us keep our focus on the fact that a plan is unfolding and there's more to life than just this life. We're only passing through this life as it is. It helps us deal with life's hardships because we know the best is ahead, first in the present heaven, and then when heaven comes to earth. Now, the writer of Hebrews refers to two key players in the plan of redemption in Hebrews chapter 11, Abraham and Moses. We made the point yesterday that Hebrews chapter 11, the whole thing, it's sometimes called the Faith Hall of Fame because it lists numerous Old Testament people who lived their lives in faith, looking at things they couldn't see. Faith walks by, faith does not walk by sight. It walks according to what God says. And Hebrews chapter 11 tells us that these Old Testament saints lived their lives with the awareness that they were only passing through this life as it is, but they all knew they'd be back to earth one day. And let's consider Abraham and Moses. I don't know if we can get to both of them today, but we can at least get it started because they're an example of two people who had this eternal perspective. They had God's provision in the life they lived on this earth, but they knew that the life that they lived on this earth is not all there is to their life. They knew they'd leave earth temporarily, but they also knew they'd be back one day to be reunited with their original bodies raised from the dead to live with the Lord forever in his kingdom on earth. Now, Abraham became the father of the people group through whom the Redeemer came to earth. As you know, God called Abraham to leave the land of his birth and travel to a land that God would give to Abraham and his descendants. Even though God promised Canaan to Abraham and his descendants, they knew their stay in the land in their lifetime, thousands of years ago, was temporary. So they lived as sojourners or temporary residents. Let me read my verse here. This is Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 through 10. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed. And he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise as in a strange country, dwelling in tents with Isaac, his son, and Jacob, his grandson, the heirs of the same promise. For, now listen to this, Abraham looked for a city which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. They knew, they lived in tents. It was a nomadic lifestyle. That was common in that day. But they were looking for a city with permanent foundations that would be established by God on this earth one day. They didn't have all the details, but they knew that a plan was unfolding. And they saw it afar off by faith. They recognized that there's more to life than just this life. Now, when Jesus came to earth the first time 2,000 years ago, he revealed an important detail about where Abraham got the kind of faith that enabled him to walk through this life as a sojourner, as someone who was only passing through, realizing that the best is yet to come. Jesus had an exchange with the Pharisees. And I'm over in John chapter 8. Let me just read this to you. Verse 56, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. Then said the Jews unto him, thou art not yet 50 years old, and hast thou seen Abraham? Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Do you remember that? What is that? Jesus took the title I am to himself. You know what I am is. That's the title that God gave himself when he appeared to Moses in the burning bush and said, I'm going to use you to lead my people out of slavery in Egypt. Tell them I am sent you. Now, if I were to keep reading here, the Jews picked up stones to stone him because what he had just, Jesus had just said to them before Abraham was, I am. That was blasphemy. He was making himself equal to God. So what's going on here? They're having an argument about if Abraham's their father, so on and so forth. I don't have time to read it. But he says to them, Abraham saw my day. And the Pharisees say, are you nuts? You're not even 50 years old. Abraham's been dead for centuries. But Jesus said before Abraham was, I am. I existed before Abraham. Here's my point. Jesus and Abraham met before Jesus took on flesh in the womb of Mary and was born in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago. I don't know if you know this or not, but Jesus made many appearances to his people in the Old Testament. He doesn't have the name Jesus in those appearances because he wasn't given that name till he took on flesh in the womb of Mary and was born into this world. He's most often called the angel of the Lord. Now, angel doesn't mean created being. Jesus is not created. He is creator. Angel means messenger or sent one. Jesus is God's message, the word made flesh, the visible manifestation of the invisible God in the Old Testament. I don't have time to read it, but if you were to go to Genesis chapter 22, you will find out that Jesus, before he took on flesh, is the one who told Abraham to offer Isaac, the son of promise, in sacrifice, and then it was Jesus who stopped him from sacrificing Abraham after Isaac after Abraham demonstrated a willingness to sacrifice his son. It was pre-incarnate Jesus who told Abraham in Genesis 22 that he would bless him and give him descendants too numerous to count, and that through his seed all nations of the earth would be blessed. Jesus would become that promised seed at his incarnation in the womb of Mary. Abraham rejoiced because Abraham got a personal explanation from pre-incarnate Jesus back in Genesis 22 of the fact that one of his descendants would be God himself taking on flesh in the womb of the woman to be born into this world to pay for the sins of mankind. Abraham rejoiced that day with Jesus before he took on flesh and was born into this world because Abraham discussed the plan of redemption with him. Now, Abraham died without seeing it fulfilled. He saw it fulfilled from heaven, and he's looking forward to coming back to this earth to participate in God's kingdom on this earth.
You've been listening more to tomorrow. Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619.